إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu made Salah fard. And with respect to Salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Mu'minun, the primary quality of Salah with which the believers are distinguished. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Allah said that these are the people who have khushu in their salah. Khushu is described as concentration and dedication and so on. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa mentioned, meaning of which is that he said that when the slave is praying and his attention wanders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks and says, O my slave, is that which you are thinking of better than I am? And then the attention maybe comes back and then it wanders again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my slave, is that which you are thinking of, is it greater than I am? And then when the attention wanders again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then go and wander wherever you like. Like a camel whose tether has been cut. And that salah is left like that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are people whose salah goes straight to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is presented there. And there are other people whose salah does not rise above their heads and is returned and thrown back in their face like a dirty piece of cloth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save our salawat and to correct our faults and to accept our salah by making it perfect by means of His mercy and grace. I remind myself and you that if we look at the salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made salah. Salah is the first gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And this is in relation to the asbab al-nuzul of the ayat of asbab al-nuzul of Surah Al-Muzammil, which I have mentioned many times before, where Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha says that the first 19 ayat of the surah were revealed as a consequence of which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba used to pray tahajjud as if he used to pray it like a fard. And this happened for 12 months before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the last ayat of Surah Al-Muzammil, which is a rukhsa, which gives relief with respect to the compulsory part of this salah. Now if you think about this, one of my dear friends said this. He said, how is it that the Sahaba prayed tahajjud at the time of their most difficult trials? Because tahajjud became fard and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayat right in the beginning of the risala, in the first year of prophethood, which means that the Sahaba were praying tahajjud at the time of their worst trials, most difficult times. But they were praying tahajjud like a fard. The second thing to understand is that despite praying tahajjud as a fard, their trials didn't go away. These are two very critical things to think about. Because we live in a world of instant results. Our whole world is like a video game. The main reason for the popularity of video games, if you look at, you know, computer games, video games, the major reason for their huge popularity is instant results, instant feedback, immediate gratification. You play the game and instantly it tells you, you won so many points. The points are meaningless. The whole game is meaningless. The whole points are meaningless. It makes, what does it mean if you mean that, if you say that you won so many points, you know, in whatever it is, Angry Birds or God knows what. What does it really mean? Nothing. It means absolutely nothing. But just the psychological, you know, fix, it's like a drug that you are getting this instant feedback that you won. Although the winning is meaningless, the game itself is meaningless, you get nothing, you just wasted a lot of your time. But all of that doesn't matter because you get this instant feedback that you won, you get addicted to the game. And it's an addiction like anything else. There are people today who are practicing, psychiatrists who are practicing de-addiction for what they call screen addiction. The screens are the smartphone screens and the computer screens and so on, tablet screens. So the point I'm saying is, we live. This is our world. Our world is a world which fools us into believing that gains are instantaneous. And if the gain is not instantaneous, then we lose interest. We've got the attention span of monkeys, you know, 30 seconds or less. And if the game is, or if the result is not instantaneous, we lose interest. But real people, real men and women, not these make-believe men and women that we have become. Real men and women understand that results are not instantaneous. No amount of technology gives you instantaneous results because Allah did not create the world like that. Results are the gains are the outcome of sustained effort and sustained effort throughout hardship. So if you take the issue of tahajjud, here was a salah which was made fard on the Sahaba, and it was made fard in the sense that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is given a task of Da'wat al-Islam, and the same task was given to the Sahaba, obviously, because they were following him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a resource and said, this is your resource. And what is the resource? It's tahajjud. And tahajjud is all about dua. So here is this resource of yours, ask Allah. But what do we see from the seerah? We see that for that whole period, even though tahajjud was being prayed as fard for 1 year, and then of course, as I always say, it is my belief that the Sahaba never left it, which means they continue to pray it as fard. Their difficulties only increased. Throughout that period, their difficulties did not go away because they were praying tahajjud. Their difficulties didn't go away because they were making dua, and they were making dua behind the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So here they were praying tahajjud with the Nabi on their own, and tahajjud was given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet the difficulties didn't go away. But because the difficulties didn't go away, they didn't stop praying. You should reflect on these things. They didn't stop praying. They didn't say, okay, you know, we prayed for 1 year, now what? And Allah has given this rukhsa now. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ تَقُومُ عَدْنَا مِنْ سُلُسَيِّ اللَّيْلِ وَنِصْفَهُ وَسُلُسَهُ وَتَعِفَةٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ مَعَكَ. And right to the end, we got the ruksa, so now leave it. They did not do that. They continued to pray. So they prayed through their worst difficulties, and they prayed despite the fact that the difficulties did not go away. Now many of them, like Sumayya radiallahu anha, like Yasir radiallahu anhu, the father of Ammar ibn Yasir and others, they died in that period. Say the Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu anha. People who prayed and people who continued, they died during this period of 13 years of Makkah. So they never saw success. Success as in the spread of Islam, power and you know, hukumat to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They didn't see that. They did not see that. They took this path of Islam, and in a worldly sense, it got them nothing. It got them absolutely nothing. I mean, say, for example, somebody like Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha, she actually lost everything. She was a very wealthy woman. She had a lot of money and so on and so forth. All of which, and she died in a state of poverty, in a state of hunger. So what did she get out of Islam? From a worldly perspective. And this is the thing for us to understand. Today, first of all, we don't pray tahajjud. And secondly, those of us who pray tahajjud, then you miss it because you slept late, or you know, I was tired or something like that. Which one of us is being killed, or which one of us is being dragged on the ground on the hot earth with a rock on our chest, like Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu, who is suffering like this? Nobody, right? But the slightest excuse and we give up this beautiful salah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. And what's the reason? Because there is no huluwat in it. We don't get this instant gratification that we are looking for. But that instant gratification, you will never get, because the final result, the beauty of tahajjud is not a matter of getting worldly benefits. The beauty of tahajjud is to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba continued to pray tahajjud, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to pray tahajjud, not because they were getting worldly benefits. They eventually got the worldly benefits also. Allah gave them in His own good time when the time was right and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's purpose was served, for the huluwat of it, for the sweetness of it, which they were able to get in this world itself because they were connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the beautiful chair of Allama Iqbal rahmatullah alayh, where he said, shauq tera agar na ho. And I'll translate that. He says, shauq tera agar na ho, meri namaz ka imam. Shauq tera agar na ho, meri namaz ka imam, mera qiyam bhi hijab, mera sujood bhi hijab. Now he's saying that the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shauq is what? Is a great desire. It's a great desire to meet. It's a great desire to know. Kisi cheez ka shauq hota hai. So it means what? It means it's great desire. So he said the desire for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the desire for Allah, the desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the desire to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, if this desire, if this shauq is not the imam of my salah, if that is not the focus of my salah, I'm not praying the salah in order to get some worldly benefit. I will get that. I'm not praying the salah in order to get even sawab. Definitely it will come. There's no doubt about that. But why are you praying, sir? You're praying in order to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shauq tera agar na ho meri namaz ka imam, mera qiyam bhi hijab, mera sujood bhi hijab. He said, my qiyam also is a hijab. There's a curtain. My qiyam also blinds me. And my sujood also blinds me. My sujood also, there is a curtain. Although in the sajda, the slave is closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's no idrak of this actual reality, that you are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So very, very important for us to inculcate that. And that comes through practice. It comes through continuously doing that over and over and over. And remember, if the Sahaba with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them do that for 12 months, what about you and me? We don't have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with us. In his physical sense, he's not praying salah with us. How much time do we think it takes for us? Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us not in keeping with our effort, but in keeping with His grace and with His... important for us to keep this in mind and say and remember that we need to... That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to ask for istiqamah. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Allah did not tell us to ask for Jannah. We can ask for Jannah, of course, and we should ask for Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made so many duas asking for Jannah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah wa saqatika min al-nar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all these duas. But in the Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah told us to ask for, to stay with it. The staying power is the secret of success, not instant gratification. The ability to postpone gratification. Emotional intelligence is defined as the ability to postpone gratification, instant gratification. And that is the whole thing that I want to remind myself and you, is let us focus on this and say, how is it that we can get this of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our salah, in the namaz. So if we get this, the sweetness of it, then you connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you get this khushu, and that khushu then leads us to, how does that link with the difficulties of the life? With this shauq, if you pray, then the difficulty disappears. The ease is with the difficulty. If you think about that, there is an ayat in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also did say, ba'da al-usri yusra, that after the difficulty, there is ease. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this and he said, Ma'al usri yusra. Inna ma'al usri. And he mentioned this twice in the same surah, in the same ayat. So therefore, the difficulty with the ease, I mean the ease with the difficulty is what? This is when we ruju ilallah. Most of us, we do ruju ilallah only when there is difficulty. When everything is happy and you are busy having a party. But when things get difficult, when there is a pain, is Allah. So the pain is a source of khair, alhamdulillah. Because of the pain, you called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should change our ways. If you want ease to happen, then call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When things are good, then Allah will give you a lot of good things. But if you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your good times, then Allah will give you some trouble so that you call Him. So that's why we don't want this trouble to come for that reason. So let us remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this ease comes because when you call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that calling itself is beautiful. And that is what, so tahajjud is something that we need to pray. And we need to pray it without leaving it. Knowing well that it is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that enables us to continue to pray even through difficulties, because that is how we make the difficulty easy, by ruju ilallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.